You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I don't know, folks, if we're on WWCR or not. I do know we're on the satellite. Well, it sounds like maybe we are. Are we on? Okay. We were blocked from the satellite. Somebody had knocked us off the satellite and then called into the satellite and blocked us from obtaining entry. I don't know who. I don't know why. Doesn't make any difference. We're going to get right into tonight's show anyway. I don't know who you are or why you're doing it. But the only way you'll stop this broadcast is when I'm in my cold, cold grave. And that ain't likely to be anytime soon. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, all of the broadcast Monday through Friday, unless I get my business taken care of sooner, will be reruns. All next week will be reruns, but I've chosen some good ones, so make sure that you listen. Also, I want to let you know that in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, on October the 20th, and this is the only announcement of this you're going to get, so make sure that you listen and that you're there. October the 20th, 1994, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, there will be the first meeting of the Constitution Party. The first meeting of the Constitution Party. It'll be at the main library, south entrance, located at 400 Civic Center. That's the October 20th, 7 p.m. at the main library, south entrance, located at 400 Civic Center. For information, call 918-596-7977. That's 918-596-7977. Anybody and everybody is welcome to attend that meeting. Well, last night I sort of left you with a revelation that many of you were not prepared to receive. And tonight I'm going to continue and back it up with a lot of facts. Remember, a lot of the meat of this little mini-series that we're doing this week comes from a book entitled Scarlet and the Beast, written by John Daniel. Scarlet and the Beast, written by John Daniel. If you would like your own copy, please send us $39.95. That's postpaid, $39.95, and we'll get a copy right out to you. Make checks or money orders out to Annie, A-N-N-I-E, and send them to the Intelligence Service, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, that's spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. That's P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 1-800-273-5901. Now, we've covered a lot of territory, and one of the points that I made is that the beast must resemble with at least 14 points exactly ancient Rome. So we'll begin tonight setting out some of these similarities between Rome and the United States of America. From 100 to 300 AD, most of pagan Rome converted to Christianity. And when this nation was founded, 67% of America's population was Christian. Christians in Rome suffered severe persecution. Christians in America were fleeing European persecution. Rome, ladies and gentlemen, in its time was the melting pot of the world. And today, one of the well-known phrases is that America is the melting pot of the world. Rome was a democracy based upon a two-party system, the optimates and the populares. And the United States of America, they say, is a democracy. It was really founded as a republic, but today it is a democracy based upon a two-party system, the Democrats and the Republicans. Rome had a divided balance of power, the Roman Tribune and his Senate. America has a divided balance of power, the American President and his Congress. Rome was based on specific laws. They had 12 tables. America is based on specific laws, our Constitution. Rome protected the rights of its citizens. America, up until recently, protected the rights of its citizens. In Rome, all men were equal. That was the international law of Rome. In America, all men are equal according to the Declaration of Independence. But let me set that straight. All men in the Declaration of Independence were created equal. All men are not equal. And in Rome, all men, even though they said they were equal, were not. Those are facts. Look in history and you will see. Rome had a sordid history of slavery. America also had a sordid history of slavery. Rome was capitalistic. America is capitalistic. Rome practiced abortion as a means of population control. And the United States of America practices abortion as a form of birth control. Rome loved R-rated entertainment. Look at the history of Pompeii. And here in the United States of America, we protect R-rated entertainment under the First Amendment as freedom of speech. Rome had a welfare program funded by taxes. And you all know that we also have a welfare budget, and many take advantage of it. In fact, our welfare budget rivals our military budget. Rome had a thriving business in lawsuits. America also has a thriving business in lawsuits. Sports was Rome's pastime. And in America, football dominates fall and winter, basketball winter and spring, and baseball spring and summer. And I know some men who don't know anything more than the sports statistics for their favorite teams. And they think they're brilliant because of it. Ancient Rome's national emblem was the single-headed eagle pointing west. America's national emblem is the single-headed eagle pointing west. From 300 to 500 AD, the Roman Church was weakened spiritually because of pagan infiltration. And after 200 years, the Church in America has also been weakened spiritually because of Masonic infiltration, which is nothing more than the ancient pagan religion of Babylon. So, we have not only met 14, ladies and gentlemen, we've gone beyond 14, if you were counting. Most historians also attribute the name America to the explorer Amerigo Vespucci. Freemasonry, however, has a different point of view, and this will be new to most of you. For according to Freemasonry and author Manly Hall, a 33rd degree Freemason, the Indians in Central and South America say the name came from their gods who were peace-loving. For example, the supreme god of the Mayan culture of Central America was known as Quetzalcoatl, a light-skinned god who wore a long white robe covered with red crosses. Carved in the stones of his temples were serpents. Quetzalcoatl was known as the peace-loving serpent god. The same god in Peru was known as Ameru, the god of peace. Ameru, the god of peace. He was pictured as a plumed serpent. Ameru's territory was known as Amaruca. Amaruca. The 1895 issue of the publication called Lucifer, a periodical published by Freemason Blavatsky's Theosophical Society, states this, quote, "From the latter comes our word America. Amaruca is literally translated land of the plumed serpent. The priests of this god of peace once ruled the Americas. All the red men who have remained true to the ancient religion are still under his sway." And according to author William T. Still, Manly Hall claims that since the serpent is frequently symbolic of Lucifer, it is no exaggeration to extrapolate from this that America may well mean, quote, land of Lucifer, end quote. We already have discussed the hierarchy in Freemasonry, and that they consider Lucifer to be the good, benevolent, and peace-loving God. Their philosophy is known as the Luciferian philosophy. And it goes something like this. Man was held prisoner by an unjust, vindictive, and jealous God in the Garden of Eden. He was bound in the chains of ignorance. Man was set free by Lucifer through his agent Satan when man was given the gift of intellect. And through the use of this intellect, man himself will become God. That is the Luciferian promise, the promise of Satan to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now remember, these are all metaphors. I don't believe for one minute that there was a naked man and woman standing by a tree and a snake came up and talked to them. These are substitutes, symbols for something much, much deeper. Much deeper. America is known as the good, benevolent, and peace-loving nation. We've also discussed the seal of the Illuminati, the unfinished pyramid. Its capstone and its all-seeing eye represents the kingdom of Lucifer. The image of this Luciferian masterpiece makes up half of the great seal of the United States of America. Just look at a $1 bill. And Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, tells us that Lucifer was the epitome of beauty. America the Beautiful may therefore be a sinister figure of speech for Lucifer the Beautiful. Freemason Manly P. Hall states that when Atlantis died, so did the ideal pattern of government. According to Hall, the League of Ten Kings is part of the secret doctrine preserved by secret societies through their oral traditions. Hall believes that when the unifying force of the Ten Kings was broken, destruction automatically followed. So complete was this destruction, he writes, that men forgot there is a better way of life and accepted the evils of war and crime and poverty as inevitable. The old Atlantis is gone, dissolved in a sea of human doubts, but the philosophical empire would come again as a democracy of wise men. This connects directly with the protocols of the wise men of Sion. Freemasonry planned long ago to philosophically raise Atlantis out of the sea, and in this new land reestablish democracy as a new world order, Novus Ordo Cyclorum. Masonic author George H. Steinmetz confirms in Freemasonry its hidden meaning, that the democratic philosophy of Freemasonry has been traced back to the lost continent of Atlantis. He attempts to prove that Atlantis was a Masonic society by suggesting that the destroyed temples of Upper Egypt are all part of that Atlantean destruction. There, in Egypt, we find their ruined temples, which compared with our lodge rooms, have similar floor plans, the same dark north, and many of the same emblems. And remember, in The Lion King, to the north was darkness and desolation. Finally, Steinmetz says that one cannot understand the universality of Freemasonry without accepting the Atlantean account. Hall concurs. Masonry is a university teaching the liberal arts and sciences of the soul to all who will attend to its words. It is a shadow of the great Atlantean mystery school which stood with all its splendor in the ancient city of the Golden Gates, where now the turbulent Atlantic rolls in unbroken sweep. And I bet you wondered why they named the bridge in San Francisco the Golden Gate Bridge. Now you know. Hall suggests that the antediluvian civilization was democratic, that Freemasonry planned over 3 centuries ago to recreate a universal democratic society that will philosophically rise up out of the sea, and like Atlantis, join with 10 kings to lead mankind in the pursuit of universal happiness. And what is the sea? Remember, the sea is the mass of humanity, great numbers of people. To rise up out of the sea is to establish through revolution. And that's coming. He says that the Christian church has delayed the search for the new Atlantis, and that's why they hate Christians, and Christians, like Orthodox Jews and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, are scheduled for extermination in the New World Order. And he alludes to the ancient Roman Empire as the last attempt at resurrection of the Atlantean project, and states that another attempt would be made. Now we can see how Freemasonry's planned resurrection of Atlantis correlates with Daniel's prophecy of a revived Roman Empire. Likewise, John's vision of the beast with 10 horns representing 10 kings is more significant in this regard, given the fact that Freemasonry calls for its one world government to be patterned after the Atlantean League of 10 kings. Therefore, to locate the headquarters of Freemasonry's new philosophical Atlantis, Daniel's revived Roman Empire, and John's beast, we must search for a land that meets the following requirements. 1. If old Atlantis was democratic, then new Atlantis will be democratic and most likely be born of Templar French Freemasonry, the father of modern socialism. 2. John's beast and Freemasonry's philosophical Atlantis will figuratively rise up out of the sea in the Atlantic Ocean, somewhere west of the Straits of Gibraltar, where old Atlantis was alleged to have sunk, and will be established through revolution from out of the masses of people. 3. If resurrected west of the Straits of Gibraltar, Daniel's revived Rome will be a new land in a new world populated from the territory of the old Roman Empire. 4. Daniel's uncivilized beast will be born in an uncivilized western land bordered by water, from Daniel's vantage point at Babylon, a land in the extreme west. 5. John's beast will eventually unite with 10 kings, as did old Atlantis, or will be divided into 10 regions, according to the plan or the world model of the Club of Rome. And on its model, the world will also be divided into 10 regions. Unlike Edgar Cayce, Manly P. Hall is not looking for ancient Atlantis to literally rise out of the sea, and neither am I, and neither should you, but I know that some of you at least have, are, and will continue to look for the sea as the literal source of the rising of a new landmass, which will be called Atlantis. And you don't understand the symbology, the metaphors. You are looking at the exoteric. You are the sheeple. Manly P. Hall, rather, looks to America as the nation that will represent philosophical Atlantis, and so do I. And through my studies, I know for a fact that this is it. For they have made the omission over and over and over again in their writings, the esoteric writings of the secret societies, all of them. And America's assignment with destiny Manly P. Hall writes, quote, "The explorers who opened the New World operated from a master plan and were agents of rediscovery rather than discoveries," end quote. And when Columbus landed upon the beach, instead of planting the flag of Spain, whom he was supposed to represent in his discovery, instead, ladies and gentlemen, this great explorer, who instead of carrying the cross of Christianity upon the sails of his ship, carried the cross, the red cross of the Knights Templars, planted a green flag with a white cross. In a second book called The Secret Destiny of America, Manly P. Hall claims that the unifying goal of ancient secret societies was to create a new Atlantis beyond the Atlantic Ocean in what is now called America. The bold resolution, he said, was that this Western continent should become the site of the philosophic empire. Still explains that America, according to this great plan, was to become the first nation to begin to establish a universal democracy or world commonwealth of nations. This quest was said to be the most noble pursuit to which a man could devote himself. And ladies and gentlemen, I would have to agree with that statement if it were done honestly and openly and for the noble purpose for which they claim. But we know that it is built upon lies and deception and manipulation, and that the men bringing it about, and it is all men, ladies, believe me, there are ladies working toward this goal, but men rule the roost, I can assure you. They do not practice what they preach. They are liars, deceivers, and manipulators. And there is nothing noble about the goal of these scum. The first modern philosopher to promote America as the new Atlantis was Sir Francis Bacon, who lived from 1561 to 1626. He was an English lord and Zionist Rosicrucian. As an occultist well versed in the Great Plan, also known as the Enterprise, Bacon concealed the secret doctrine in a novel entitled New Atlantis, in which he laid out the plan for a utopian society to be built on this newly discovered continent. Masonic authors Marie Bauer Hall and Manly P. Hall respectively say of Bacon, and I quote, "Bacon is the founder of Freemasonry, the guiding light of the Rosicrucian order, the members of which kept the torch of true universal knowledge, the secret doctrine of the ages, alive during the dark night of the Middle Ages." Bacon had been initiated into the new liberalism represented throughout Europe by secret societies of intellectuals dedicated to civil and religious freedom. Later, when the moment was propitious, he threw the weight of his literary group with the English colonization plan for America, cherishing, as he did, the dream of a great commonwealth in the new Atlantis, end quote. Still, says Baconian scholar and Masonic enthusiast Marie Bauer Hall, believes this great plan has been perpetuated by an international group of only the highest initiates of the secret societies, as I have revealed to you over the years. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Saturnitas, Saturni, Fraternitas Rex Mundi, Free Mason, Do as thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law. O.T.O. The Golden